chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're in a series of messages regarding relationships and giving focus to our relationships, beginning first and foremost with our relationship with God. I wonder, dear friend, do you have a relationship with God? Has there ever been a time and point in your life where you trusted in the Lord to save you from your sins and to make you a child of God? We sang earlier, only a sinner, what? Saved by grace. Every one of us, as we enter into this world, as sinners. We make that evident the older we get, the more sins are evident in our lives. The Bible teaches in the book of Romans, not only have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but all of us are totally sinful. It doesn't matter if it's our lips. It doesn't matter if it's our feet or our hands. In every area, every walk of life, we have sinned against the Lord and against others. Because of that, we need to be saved from our sins. Salvation comes by somebody who acknowledges they need a Savior. They need somebody to save them from their sins. They're fallen. They're lost. They're struggling with treating others right and doing that which is right and pleasing to the Lord. So there came that point in time in my life as a child, actually, when I recognized that I was a sinner. And I trusted in Christ alone to save me from my sins. I recognize, I was taught that Christ died on the cross of Calvary for my sins. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you recognize first that Christ is God? Secondly, that He died on the cross for your sins. Thirdly, that you need a Savior. The Word of God says that when we believe, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, thou shalt be saved. We'll be saved from our sins by believing in Christ alone. There's no amount of work that I can do. It's not about doing. It's about being. You can't do enough to become a child of God. But you can become a child of God by believing in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. I would really implore you, at the end of this message, come forward. Allow us to have the opportunity to share with you Christ and how He will save you from your sin. Again, it's not about doing. It's about being. And we want you to be a child of God, and that comes through salvation alone in Jesus Christ the Lord. Well, once you become a child of God, you then enter into a relationship with God. He says that you can call Him Father. He will be your Father, and you'll be either His son or His daughter. You then enter into this relationship that as you get closer to Him, He becomes more to you, and He also brings forth fruit in your life. And I want to talk to you about the first fruit that is mentioned here in Galatians chapter 5. Would you look down at verse number 22 of where it begins, where it says, the fruit of the Spirit is, and what's that first fruit or first part of the fruit? It is love. I want to talk to you this morning about the fruit of love. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thankful for His sacrificial gift as He died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Not only did He die, but on the third day rose again victorious, not only over the grave, not only over death, but also over sin. And because of that, through Christ alone, we can have victory over sin. We can have victory over death and over the grave. And I pray, Father, that You would deal with hearts even as I speak. That they would be drawn to You. That they'd be drawn to know more about this free gift of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I pray that they would seek for answers to that and find Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Father, then as Your children, You want to begin to produce fruit in our lives. And for us to have these right relationships that we've been focusing on, it is ever so important that we would love. And so I pray that we would understand this fruit of love, why it is, and why it has been given, and what is it for. And I pray that through that, we would glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, here in Galatians chapter 5, in verse number 22, it gives a list of those things that would be considered the fruit of the Spirit, or that which the Spirit wants to produce in your life. The question is, why is this important? Why is He producing the Spirit of love? I mean, is that the Spirit that He loves me? Or is He trying to produce a spirit in me that I might love others? And why is He doing that? Is He trying to produce that in me so more people like me? That I become the center of attention more often? That people would like to be around me? This is a fruit of love, I want us to understand, but not a feeling of love. He's not trying to produce a feeling. He's trying to produce a fruit. And so I want us to understand from this context here this morning two reasons why He is trying to produce in you the fruit of love. Every child of God, He wants to produce this fruit in you. Again, He's not trying to produce a feeling. He's trying to produce a fruit. And look back in verse number 13, and I think we'll find the first of two reasons why. Number one, you should allow the Holy Spirit to minister to others through you. If you would, just for a second here, notice I have up here a small pipe. I didn't bring the whole stick of it for the sake of the illustration, just a small piece, and it's probably about an inch, not what we would typically use in a residential setting, but maybe in some type of a commercial setting, we'd use a pipe like this. This short little piece of pipe, at just about 12, 14 inches long, really isn't worth much. A few cents to purchase something of a size like this, well, I guess with the economy the way it is, a few dollars probably the day. And in and of itself, it really doesn't do much good. You could lay it in your garage, you can lay it in your workshop, you can put it out in your barn, whatever, and sit around with all the other things that you've collected over the years, and it wouldn't really be of any good. But if you would connect it to a couple fittings and some other pipes, it can become valuable. Why? Not because of what it is in and of itself, but what it allows. It allows itself to become then a conduit for water to pass through, which would actually then benefit the place in which it is put. So again, in and of itself, it's not worth a lot. But it is meant to be a conduit through which the water would flow. I want us to understand the same is true of love. God is trying to produce that in our lives so that our lives would become a conduit. The Holy Spirit wants to minister to others, and He can do so directly. He can do so through His Word, but He also wants to do that through His children. God wants us to be a conduit where He can love and bear that fruit of love, not just to us, we'll understand that in a little bit, but also through us. Look here in verse number 13 now. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, the idea of freedom. And through Christ we have been given great freedom. Look what he goes on to say. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Say, wow, I'm free now to do whatever I want. I'm free in Christ Jesus, and so all the bondage of sin has been taken off of me. All the guilt of sin has been dealt with at the cross. Now I'm free to go over and do whatever I want. He says, be careful. You've been given freedom, but don't use that for your own fleshly desires. How many people over the years have been set free from being incarcerated? And now those things they couldn't do in prison, now that they've been set free, within a moment of hours or days are back to that same sin. That freedom they've allowed to go and to just be used for their own pleasure. Well, look what he goes on to say. We're not to use it for the occasion of our own flesh, but by love, what are we to do? We are now free to serve one another. Again, the idea is God has set us free from our sins, not just for our own selfish desires, not just so that we can do now the things that we want. God has set us free so that we are free to serve others, so that our lives can be used as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. Would you turn with me? We're going to come back here, but just turn forward a few pages to Romans chapter 15, a little bit more toward the front of your Bible, Romans chapter 15. So again, this fruit of love isn't a feeling, it's a fruit. And it's not so that I feel love, but it's so that I can love others. The Holy Spirit can love others through me. Listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant to all that I might gain the more. What is Paul saying here? I've been set free. And while I've been set free from all men, what I've done is I've made myself a servant that I might gain the more. And what Paul was doing is looking for opportunity to impact other souls for Christ. Paul didn't say, boy, now that I'm saved and on my way to heaven, I can do whatever I want because no matter what happens, the moment I die, I'm going to heaven. And we can use that very selfishly. We can use that to just fulfill our own desires, but Paul said, I'm not going to go there. So he takes that liberty, and he says, you know what? I've been set free so that I can make myself a servant. Boy, isn't that an interesting play on words. I'm set free, so I'm going to make myself a servant. I'm free to serve. Paul says, you know what I'm going to use my freedom for? Is to try to win others for Christ. I wonder, have you ever done that with your life? Have you ever said, boy, now that I'm free, I have the opportunity now to minister to others. Look what Paul says here again in writing to the church of Rome in chapter 15 of the book of Romans and starting with verse number 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Again, we're in this battle. We're wanting to please ourselves. He says, but those of us who are strong, we ought to bear up the infirmities or the weaknesses of the weak. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Let me ask you, I don't know how close your neighbors are to you, but do you have a burden for them? Are you trying to influence their lives? Are you trying to build a relationship to them and with them? Are you looking up for opportunities to somehow minister to them, to reach out to them? Paul says here, writing, says, let every one of us please his neighbor to his good. Again, what is he? I think what Paul is doing, he is bearing the fruit of love. He said, you know what? I'm concerned about them. I want to build them up. I want to edify them. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit has moved in, and the Holy Spirit wants to use Paul as a conduit. He wants to work through Paul. So Paul is making himself an available conduit so that the Holy Spirit can reach out to these people through the life of Paul. In fact, look what he goes on to say in verse number 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So he took the reproaches or the infirmities of them that those that were reproaching the Father, and they fell on him. So Christ was a living example of one who through love served one another. Turn back with me now to Galatians chapter 5. Christ in his high priestly prayer in John 17 verse 26 says this, I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them. Let me read that again. That the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them. Let me ask you, if you're a Christian, are you thankful Christ is in you? Aren't you thankful for that? Christ has taken up a permanent residence in your life. You're a child of God. The Scripture says nothing can separate you from the love of God. This is an incredible bond. When I became a child of God, not only was I placed in Christ, but Christ was placed in me. It just makes it inseparable. And so I've got Christ in me, and I'm in Christ, and I've got this tremendous bond. Well, I'm so glad Christ is in me, but notice the forefront of the prayer, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them. Do you have the love of Christ in you? The type of love that would want to serve others. Again, I think sometimes we do this, but we kind of pick and choose who we want to serve. And the Word of God is saying this, the Holy Spirit wants to produce this fruit in you that so that by love you'll serve one another. Look for people to serve out of a heart of love. The Holy Spirit wants to use you as a conduit. So allow Him. Maybe if someone has a surgery, allow Him to minister love to them through you. Maybe through a note, a phone call, some type of contact. Maybe through making a meal for them. Maybe that might happen in the church, but maybe that would happen in the neighborhood. Maybe you hear of something taking place in a neighborhood where someone has gone through a death in the family or some type of a difficult situation, a surgery or whatever, and you say, again, I want to look for an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to love them through me. He wants to bear fruit in your life so that you would be an impact on the lives of those around you. We need more serving and less severing. We need more serving and less severing. Instead of dividing and separating and picking and choosing, we need to say, you know what, I want to be like Christ who served everyone. I'm still amazed that when he announced that Judas was the betrayer, he didn't initially announce it was Judas, but even when he announced that one would betray me, they didn't all look at Judas. I'm still shocked by that. I'm still amazed that when they took him to the cross, he didn't lash out at them. In fact, when Peter cut off Malchus' ear, what did he do? He healed the ear. What was he doing? He's demonstrating love. And so, as Christians, as we go through life, we've got to look for those opportunities. As you grow closer to the Lord, He's going to want to bear fruit in your life, and the first part of that fruit is love. Now, if you look up just a few verses from verse number 22, that you'll notice that one of the works of the flesh is hatred, the exact opposite. And so what he is trying to do is to bear in your life that fruit. I wonder, have you become a loving person? Now, we're all going to fail. We're all going to have those moments. But I wonder, are we changing? Again, Christianity is not about doing. Christianity is about becoming. And we ought to be becoming loving people. You say, well, Pastor, if you knew my upbringing, if you knew my father, if you knew the way my grandfather treated me, well, dear friend, we're now a new creature. And your heavenly Father now wants to produce in you something new. And it's not about what you're doing, it's about what you're to be. And He wants you to become love. So that by love in this new freedom, you'll serve one another. So first of all, let's ask the Lord to open our eyes for opportunities to serve so that we might demonstrate that love, that we might be that conduit. So again, whether it's in the church setting, whether it's in your work setting, whether it's in your neighborhood setting, whether it's in the setting of your family, whatever it may be, that you're looking for opportunities because God is loving through you to love maybe even the unlovely. Let me ask you, when He found you, what were you like? But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it wasn't that Christ died because He saw all the potential that you had. You know, really, in us there is no potential. The only potential in us is Christ. And so it wasn't that He found you to be this loving, adorable, almost like a kitten type of a person. He found you to be a sinner. Look at the people that He ministered to throughout the Word of God. Look at the Zacchaeuses. Look at Matthew, or we call him Levi. He's also a publican, a sinner, tax collector. He came not to find the righteous, but He came to find the sinners in need of a Savior. So when we're looking for someone to love, we shouldn't look for the one, oh man, such and such is such a wonderful person. I'm going to love them. You've got to say, Lord, would You, I think Your Holy Spirit wants me to love somebody that isn't very lovely. Somebody that isn't very kind. Somebody that isn't very appropriate. Father, who are You going to bring into my life that I might be able to bear this fruit of love and recognize it has to be You? And it's the type of love that we would see in Christ. You know, He says in 1 Peter, there are certain things that we can do with certain people. What glory is that? That was easy. He uses the example there, and we'll use it later on in this series. But what about a froward boss? What about ministering to them? And so again, first of all, you should allow the Holy Spirit to minister to others through you, and that others, I'm not saying just other Christians, but the Bible says we ought especially do it to those who are of the household of faith. I'm not saying we should do it just with our family, though I think we should reach out and love our family. I think that we should ask the Lord, Lord, who do You want me to reach out and minister to? And is there any Levi in my life? Is there any Zacchaeus in my life? Is there a Judas in my life through which You want to display love to? Secondly, then, that was found in verse 13. Now let's go right into verse number 14, because I think also you should allow the Holy Spirit to fulfill the law through you. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. What's the word? Thou shalt, what's the word? Love. Now, the one word means one message. And so it doesn't stand in one word alone. Here is the message, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Again, who is thy neighbor is the question the Lord asks. And we come to this conclusion biblically. The neighbor is anyone we come in contact with. That is considered biblically a neighbor. So if you come in contact with someone, that is rightfully your neighbor. Well, according to the Word of God, you are to love your neighbor just like you love yourself. Let's go ahead and keep our hand here, but let's turn now back to the book of Mark. We're now going Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Mark chapter 12. And I want to see the first time this is mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel were given the law. You may think of the Ten Commandments, or you may think of the whole law. There were 613 commandments. You say, well, how do I keep all these commandments? How do I memorize all of these? How do I fulfill all these different laws? Wouldn't it be great if for everything in life there was one remedy? Say you have a sprained ankle, take this. This helps with sprained ankles. Yeah, I have a headache, take this. Helps with headaches too. You have melanoma, take this. It's great for that as well. You wouldn't need a pharmacy, would you? Wouldn't need pharmaceutical company. I won't go there. Just one remedy for all. Well, when it comes to the law, there's one answer to fulfilling all of it. That answer is love. That's why I think it's the first mention in the fruit that the Holy Spirit wants to bear in your life as a believer. When it comes to the list of thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not, if we go to commit adultery, whatever, the list goes on and on, commit fornication. As the list goes on, there's one answer to all of that. If I love individuals, I won't do any of those things against them. So that means, if I do steal from someone, then I don't love them. And if I do bear false witness about someone, then I don't love them. Look here at the Lord Jesus Christ. He was asked a question at the end of verse number 28 of Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 28, the very end. Which is the first commandment of all? Which one takes priority? And in the context, you might be looking at it and you say, well, you know, he thought maybe this command was more important than that. You know, which command is more important? Let me ask you, which is more important, that you don't steal or that you don't bear false witness? Boy, you sit and think about that for a while. I don't know. You shouldn't steal. I mean, you shouldn't be taking from others. But at the same time, you shouldn't be saying something that's wrong about somebody else. And you deliberate back and forth which is worse. And the Lord says, I've got an answer for this. Jesus answered him. And this was a man who was not seeking to trick the Lord, but a devout man. The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel. Now he's going back into the law, Deuteronomy. Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. He says, listen, Israel, love the Lord with all your being. Love the Lord with all that you have. And then he goes on to say, and the second is like unto it. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So he said, if you want the answer to the law, the answer is love. Look what he goes on to say in verse number 32. And the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And so he recognized, boy, this is the answer. In fact, if you go over, and I don't have the time to do it this morning, I deliberated on that, is taking you over to 1 John and showing you all how that if you love God, you're going to love one another. And I want you to know again, the reason is he wants you to become this conduit, and through this conduit of love, you making yourself a willing sacrifice and him living through you, you can fulfill the entire law, and it's by love. You know, I said earlier, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners. You know, he goes on to teach us later in Romans chapter 8 that there's nothing that can separate us from that love. God loves us with an everlasting love. So that means if you or I would go out from this building and sin, God still loves us. There's nothing that I can do, and there's nothing that anyone else can do to cause God to stop loving me. In fact, let's use an example. Let's use Christ as the example. Isn't that the best place to get an example? Let's use Christ. Let's say he's about ready to die. That's really emotional time, isn't it? In fact, it says he was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Well, during that time, he has one boasting disciple. His name's Peter. And Peter said, hey, I'll go with you even unto death. He's really rebuking the Lord for what he's saying. Here's Christ about ready to be crucified, and all of a sudden he's got somebody who's a loudmouth in the room saying that he'll do whatever, you know, he'll do this, and even though the Lord said no one will do this. And so the Lord continues to love Peter, doesn't he? And Peter ends up forsaking the Lord. Peter denies the Lord on three occasions. How do you like to have a friend like that? But the Lord continues to love him. Peter even goes back to fishing. Said he never would, but went back to fishing anyway. What does love do with someone who rebukes you? What's love do to someone who denies being your friend? What's love do to someone who forsakes you? What's love do to someone who leaves and goes back to his old ways? Love goes after them. And love reaches out to them. And love restores them. You see, God loves us with an everlasting love. And nothing we do separates us from that love. How then can we as children allow others to be separated from our love? How is it that when we are to love like He is, and when His prayer was that my love or our love would be in them, how is it that when someone wrongs us, we quit loving them? What love is that? You see, He's trying to produce a fruit in you. Why? Because it's the only way you can fulfill the law. And I really believe our battle and our struggle is not because of what they've done to us, but it's because we don't love them. And so I want you to know, dear friend, Christianity is not just a religion, it's a relationship. And in that relationship, He says, this is what I want to do. I want to bear fruit in your life. And the reason I want to bear fruit in your life is so that, number one, that you can love, and I'm not putting it as this is most important, this is second, but one of the reasons is so that you can serve one another, and the other reason so you can be able to fulfill the whole law. He says, I'm going to start by bearing this fruit of love in you. Have you become a loving person? Is the Spirit bearing that fruit in your life so that others are seeing it, so that you're even able to recognize it? I looked at Joseph and I considered him. I preached about him last week, Joseph and his brothers, and I thought, you know what? Joseph, what did he do? Joseph served. And when his brothers came back, and finally after all these years of separation, and after they had forsaken him, and after they had deceived their father and lied to their father, and all this had happened, and he had the opportunity to do whatever he wanted to his brothers, what did he do? Because he loved them, he served them. Your friend, God wants to bear the fruit of love in your life. Are you becoming a loving person? Not just those to those who are doing you right, and not just to those who are treating you well, not just to those who are giving you things. But are you loving the unloving, the unlovely, the hurtful, Are you demonstrating the fruit of love in your life? If not, then you ought to be confessing that. Father, I'm sinning against you. I am not loving. And maybe there's some particular names that need to be mentioned. Father, would you bear that fruit of love in my life so that it begins to be reflected in how I treat that individual or those individuals? Help me to reach out and minister to my mate. Help me to reach out and minister to my children. Help me to reach out and minister to my parents, my neighbors, my co-workers, my friends. Help me to bear the fruit of love. Let's pray. God is love. So God desires to bear the fruit of love in your life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, who would say, Pastor, as you preached this morning, as I evaluate my heart, my spirit, my life, my words, I have not become loving. That would not be a great description of my character. And God has spoken to my heart about it, and I just would appreciate your prayers. So just say, as I evaluate my life, if Christ is trying to bear this fruit in me through the Spirit, I don't see it as I believe it ought to be seen, and I'm sure others aren't seeing it as they ought to see it. Would you pray for me? This is tough for me. I need to be bearing this fruit of love. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number of hands of Rimrit. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's several more. You may put those hands down. Anyone else? He's trying to bear it again so that you'll serve. So ask the Lord, Lord, would you help me to serve? Put somebody in my life. Somebody maybe it isn't that loving. Somebody that isn't that lovely. Also, Father, I'm breaking the law with it. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm breaking the law toward this person. But if I could just love them, I'd be able to fulfill that love. Father, would you help me? Somebody else, just God speak into your heart about that love that you ought to be demonstrating. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Dear friend, do you know Jesus Christ? I started the service this way, intentionally. Are you a child of God? If not, you can do loving things, but you won't be the loving person that you can be without first knowing Christ. Anyone here that's not 100% sure you're a child of God, and you would just appreciate me praying for your soul that you might come to the light, you might come to the understanding, that your eyes would be open, and you would understand what salvation is all about. Just raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Anyone at all? Your Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to bear fruit in our lives through your Spirit. And I believe you want to start with that fruit of love. I pray now that you'd work in our hearts. There have been hands raised to acknowledge that their need to become a more loving person, their need to have their character change, to love their boss, to love their coworker, to love their neighbor, to love the one that's disgruntled with it, whatever it might be. Father, you want to bear that fruit in us. You want us to begin to serve them. You want us not only to fulfill the law, but to serve them. And so I pray that you would allow us to become that open conduit. We, in and of ourselves, won't be anything great. But if your love would be channeled through us, it would make us a blessing to others. Guide in the closure of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you turn with me to hymn number 328? I thought through this a while, and I